putting on the armour of God, not to hide from the world, but to enter the fray, equipped to follow God into all the places we'd rather avoid. Knowing when to don the protection God provides, and knowing when to lay ourselves open and vulnerable, God give us the wisdom and the grace to be equipped for every spiritual battle, and the strength to follow wherever you lead. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to have you all with us this morning. A special welcome to little Alba and her family as we get ready to baptise Alba into the family of God here in this place. You're all very, very welcome. Over the last couple of weeks, we've introduced a little song at the end of the service, and we've been experimenting a little with how we do that. So last week, we went straight from the sung Amen into it, and this week, acknowledging actually that many of us appreciate just a little pause for a silent private prayer, we're going to go back to what we used to do before we didn't sing the song, and that there'll be, sit down after the sung Amen, there'll be a little pause, then Emily will start to play the music for the song, and the Bible will be uplifted, and we'll go out. So please stand again at that point and remain standing for the singing of the song. The order of service has a few different intimations for you this morning. Just to maybe have a quick look and see if there's any that I want to maybe highlight. The poppies for Remembrance Sunday, they're coming in thick and fast. We're going to actually have some knitting afternoons, a knitting and natter time starting in a few weeks. So if you've not started knitting any poppies and would like to start knitting poppies, patterns and wool are available, and you'd be very free to come along to those knit and natter afternoons. I think they begin on the 19th of September. But there'll be no such thing as too many poppies. So if you're still knitting, keep going. The more poppies we have to fill the garden outside the church in time for remembrance, the better. I think I'll leave you to read everything else that is there. At times we can look at the world and think it is a difficult place. And so we come here to this place, and we come to be strengthened through prayer, word, and action. As we gather this day, may we open our eyes to the needs of the world. May we open our ears to the cries of our brothers and sisters. May we open our hearts to love one another through thick and thin. Let us worship God together. We stand and sing hymn 517, Fight the Good Fight. Let's now turn our hearts to God in prayer. God, we come into this place of sanctuary not to escape the world, but to bring that world with us into your presence. We come to share the week that has been and to look forward to all that you have in store for us. And Lord, as you meet us here, you invite us to lay our burdens down, to lay down all that concerns us about our world, to lay down all that concerns us about our loved ones, to lay down all that concerns us about ourselves, for you carry us and all our burdens. For those times our fear overcame our faith, our concerns for our need overrode our concerns for others, we ask your forgiveness. For those times we failed to see or blatantly ignored an opportunity to share your light, we ask your forgiveness. For those times we might have made a difference, but were too tired or too slow or simply couldn't be bothered, we ask your forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord, and inspire us to step up for you in the future. And in your forgiveness, clothe us with all we need to put the past behind and to go on and serve you however you call us today. Convict us here in worship, not just with our failings, but with the strength that is ours through you, God of power and might. And hear us as we join our voices in one in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Good morning. Are you all fine? Had a good week? Last week, some of you were here and you brought your school bags and we put a blessing in them and we blessed you and your time at school. And I was thinking this week about, you know, when you're getting ready to do something. For example, when you're getting ready to go to school, what's the first thing you do in the morning when you're getting ready? You get up, right? Okay. And do you go and wash your face and brush your teeth first? Or do you do something else first?
Wash my face and brush my teeth.
Wash your face and brush your teeth, okay. What might you do after you've washed your face and brushed your teeth? And get dressed. And if you're going to school, do you wear special clothes for going to school? What do you wear for going to school? Do you wear a skirt? Or do you wear trousers? Or a pinafore? Or a dress?
Skirt.
Hmm?
You wear a skirt, pinafore, and...
And if you get a special jumper that you have to wear for school? Yeah. And it's got a school badge and the school name and things on it, so you wear a bit of a uniform. Okay, so you go to school and you wear special clothes for going to school. Who else might wear special clothes? Who else might wear special clothes?
Teachers.
Teachers? Does your teacher wear a uniform? Or do they? Eh? Or no? Who else might wear special clothes? The Queen does wear special clothes. I'm not the Queen, but the Queen does. Anyway, when we're getting ready to do special jobs, we need special clothes. And I've brought some special bits and pieces with me today. These all belong to my husband. Now, who fancies being an engineer? Anybody fancy? You want to say that you can be an engineer? Right. So you can be my husband. And he's going out to visit a distillery, and it's a building site, so he has to wear special protective clothing. So one of the first things he's got to put on is his steel toe-cap boots. You want to not want to put them on? You don't have to, no. Okay, right. When he goes on to a building site, he has to be quite visible. So he has a high-vis vest to wear. So we'll manage to put that on, won't we? Yeah, there we go. Oh, there we go. It's a bit big, I know, but anyway. There we go. And he also has to wear... That's in case anything falls down on top of him. So you need to wear that. And sometimes on building sites there are chemicals and dust and stew and other things that might get in our eyes. So he's got special safety goggle glasses to wear as well. There you go. You're ready for a day on a Diageo distillery site. Excellent. Excellent. Well, we're going to hear in church while you're away in Sunday school a little bit of the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. When he tells them about a special clothing, a special armour that we as Christians can put on to go about our daily lives, and it's the armour of God, and it's about having and being prepared and equipped to live our lives knowing that God loves us, and to remember most importantly that God loves us, and that gives us a great armour that we can wear as we go around our day and day of our lives to protect us from some of the things that might hurt us and upset us and cause us lots of concern. Do you fancy being an engineer when you grow up? It's a good job, you know. You get to do sometimes interesting things. Do you want to keep that on just now or do you want to take it off? We'll take it off. Well, thank you very much for being our model, for being our engineer. And we're going to sing again, and we're going to sing a little song, which is, if I can remember correctly, We Are Marching in the Light of God, which is 516 in your hymn books.
Our Bible reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, starting at verse 10. And this can be found on page 245 in the Good News Bible. So it's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let's listen to the word of God. The whole armour of God. Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power. Put on all the armour that God gives you so that you will be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armour now. Then when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks. And after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. So stand ready, with truth as a belt tight round your waist, with righteousness as your breastplate, and as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. At all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it, you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. And accept salvation as a helmet, and the word of God as the sword which the Spirit gives you. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion, as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. And pray also for me, that God will give me a message when I am ready to speak, so that I may speak boldly and make known the gospel's secret. For the sake of this gospel, I am an ambassador, though now I am in prison. Pray that I may be bold in speaking about the gospel as I should. Amen.
Thank you. We stand and sing again. This time our hymn is 577, Christ Be Beside Me. Over the last few weeks in church, we have been thinking about what it means to be church and reflecting on Paul's vision for the church in his letter to the Ephesians. In today's reading, Paul gives advice as to how we are to prepare ourselves for the task of being church by putting on the armour of God. Before we take a closer look at the armour, I want to just take a moment to look back on what we've been thinking about over these last few weeks. We began by thinking about how, despite our various starting points, our different experiences of faith, our theological training, our faith backgrounds and traditions, we are united by the love of God found in Christ Jesus. And that truth is a great leveller. It puts us all in the same place. No one more important or further up the pecking order than anyone else. God's outrageous grace is outrageous because he offers it to all. We then went on to think about all the different ways we are, well, different. And in our diversity, how that can be a strength. Diversity can bring challenges, but it also brings benefits. That we are all different. That we all have our own opinions and views. That we have our different stories to tell is a strength. Because it means we bring different ideas and different skills to the table. Our differences do not have to weaken us. And we were reminded in that our foundations are strong. Paul said in chapter 2 of his letter, "You too are built upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus himself. He is the one who holds the whole building together and makes it grow into a sacred temple dedicated to the Lord. In union with him, you too are being built together with all the others into a place where God lives through his Spirit." We are at our strongest when we stick together despite our differences. When we recognise there can be diversity in unity and that that can be a strong bond held together by God's love and God's indulgence of grace. We are a community of faith. Last week we considered what it meant to live the Christian life with Paul's reminder that we are to live a life that measures up to the standard God set when he called you. Be always humble, gentle and patient. Show your love by being tolerant with one another. We wear Christ's name. We therefore have standards to live up to. We should have high expectations of ourselves because others certainly do. One of the biggest turnoffs I reminded you was that for other people, when it comes to religion, is the hypocrisy people see in the followers of those religions. And so people have, quite rightly, high expectations of us as Christians. And we also thought about the gifts that each of us has been given by God to use. And not so much gifts as in talents, but the gifts that make us who we are. And I read a quote from Reverend Wade that went, "God went to a lot of trouble to make you and every one of us as unique as snowflakes. There is a special chemistry to you that makes you different from everyone else. Those who were raised in your household, those who share your background. Your gift may be that you are high-strung or laid back, happy, serious, depressed, concerned, anxious, eager, funny, emotional, supportive, or confrontative. Notice that all the gifts are not necessarily ones that we would want, but they are what we've been given for the business of life. They are the gifts that God has set before us," Reverend Wade said. So we are united by the love and outrageous grace of God. We are a diverse group of individuals who are in community with each other by our shared faith, and we wear Christ's name and have been given gifts to help us. Today, Paul helps us even further by offering us armour to put on. The armour of God is perhaps one of the most famous metaphors in Paul's letters. It takes imagery that people over a millennia would recognise and helps us all contextualise. It's a language of militarisation. And it feels rather strange in describing the requirements of a follower of the Prince of Peace. However, it wasn't just Paul's fevered imagination from the prison cell at work here. Paul is referencing the very depiction the prophet Isaiah gives of the armour that God will don in order to judge the world. Isaiah wrote, "He will wear justice like a coat of armour and saving power like a helmet. He will clothe himself with a strong desire to set things right and to punish and avenge the wrongs that people suffer." This is apocalyptic language, thinking about the time of judgment, the final reckoning, and the preparations we should make as part of the body of Christ, recognising that the powers that work against the principle of love and grace will not go down without seeking first to do damage. And so we need to be prepared. I quoted from Edward Marquardt last week, and he has a great explanation to give of Paul's imagery. And he starts explaining, Paul then lists seven qualities, seven pieces of armour that we can benefit from. Paul is so wise in describing each piece of necessary armour. The number 7 is symbolic of wholeness, the whole armour, the full suit of armour. And he goes on to describe each piece of armour very helpfully, so indulge me as I go through each one, one by one. First of all, he says, put on the belt of truth. Truth in all relationships. Truth about God and God's love. Truth about our spouse, our children, our parents, our grandparents and neighbours. Finally, grasping the truth about ourselves. To live truthfully and not to live a lie. This is a gift from God. Then put on a breastplate of righteousness. Right relationships, healthy relationships, good relationships with all those around you and even yourself. To be in right relationships and not wrong, sick and demeaning relationships. This is truly a gift from God we would all want. Then put on foot protectors of peace. Not to be looking for a fight with yourself, your family member or your co-worker, but to be a peacemaker, to work hard for peace and towards peace in all relationships. This is truly a gift from God that we need. Then put on the shield of faith, to trust God, to trust that God is with you, to trust that God is in you, to trust that God will strengthen you for every situation that you are facing. You can't prove it. You can't prove God. You can't prove God's inner strength. You can't prove eternal life. But you have been given the gift of trust. Trusting your inner spiritual self. Trusting God's slow plan to health and wellness. You can't see it. But you can trust God's future plan for your life on both sides of the grave. Then put on the helmet of salvation. What a gift to know that you are saved, that there is nothing you can do to earn or merit your own salvation, but that salvation and eternal life are a gift from God. I don't have to worry about being saved. I don't have to question whether or not I deserve eternal life. Eternal life is a given. I don't have to worry about it. Put on the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God. There is power in the Bible, power in the Word of God, the Word of Jesus. The words of the Apostle Paul and the Old Testament are not merely words printed on pages of a dusty book that we pull out when the preacher is coming or when we have an occasional Bible study. God's words are living words, intended to live in us. We learn them, memorize them, recite them spiritually in our brains, so that God's words are constantly with us. What a resource. And finally, he went on, put on praying in the Spirit. There is not a piece of armour mentioned with the 7th quality, but the quality is important. Last but not least is praying in the Spirit, in the mood, in the emotion, in the remembrance. Reverend Marquardt adds that prayer is part of the armour. Even if Paul doesn't list it as such, he still encourages us to use prayer as the Spirit leads us. This armour we're encouraged to put on is a great protection for all that the world might throw at us. And it helps us stay focused on what it is to wear the name of Christ. So where might we find this armour? Where do we go to find our belts of truth, our breastplates of righteousness, foot protectors of peace, shields of faith, helmets of salvation and swords of the Spirit that is the Word of God? Where is the armoury? The armoury where we find the armour of God is right here. This church. You, the people of God. We are each other's armoury. And that's why it's so important that we don't forget about our unity of purpose, our being united in God's love and outrageous grace, and the many gifts that we've been given. Last week I introduced you to Reverend Francis Wade and his idea of time, place and relationship being gifts from God that we give and receive each time we come to church. And giving of our time and presence to each other here in this place. time and place shared in relationship with each other through all that unites us. And we can keep our armour in tip-top condition, always ready to ward off the temptation and evils of the world. At the end of September, we are holding a congregational conference where we're going to press the pause button and reflect on where we are as a church. We'll think about our strengths, our weaknesses, and explore the threats and, most exciting of all, the opportunities. This conference is open to anyone who wants to come along. You don't need to be an elder or a board member or serve in one of our core groups. It's an opportunity for us all to gather and repair our armour and give it a good polish, ready for the next chapter of our story here at Cults Parish Church. Because there's no doubt that the Church Catholic, that is the worldwide church, faces many challenges, and so it's important that we are prepared as best we can to deal with these. The challenges of ageing and declining congregations, the missing generations, the apparent secularisation of our world, all huge challenges, but we must never forget that we are not a body of God without hope, faith, and love. And amid the challenge, we have God, who hasn't gone anywhere. Jesus is still our Saviour, and the Holy Spirit is still doing her thing. We are fortunate here in Cults to have a great leadership team and other people willing to do so much in and around our church and our community. And that gives me confidence that with our armour spruced up, that we will be well equipped to face the challenges ahead. As Neil and I head off on holiday, I can reflect on a wonderful 7 months. I feel truly blessed to be here. And I am excited about the future. I'm excited about rising to all the challenges. I'm excited about the possibilities. And I hope you are too. Last week, we gave the children little cards to keep in their school bags, reminding them that they are blessed to be a blessing. The same is true for us. We are all God's children, and he blesses us with many gifts and talents. The task for us is how we then use them and become the blessing we are to be to those around us. We continue to worship God, this time in our offering. us pray. Lord God, may we be prepared when you ask to take up or lay down our armour and to offer our whole selves and all that we have to serve you in gladness. Take these, our offerings, as a representation of who we are and how we serve. Bless them to your purposes. Amen. Welcome back. We're going to stand and sing together hymn 142, A Small Thing Like a Hazelnut. Hymn 142. It's always a real joy when parents bring their little ones for baptism, and it really is lovely to have Alba and her mummy and daddy with us here this morning. For me, it's all very exciting. It always is when we welcome little ones into God's family. In the sacrament of baptism, we create a link with tradition. From the start of Christian community centuries ago, people have been received into the church through their baptism. A baptism is a sign that God loves each of us individually. It shows and tells us that God's love encompasses and embraces us all, and that God's grace works in and through our lives. The water we use in baptism is the seal of God's grace and reminds us of Jesus Christ, who himself was baptized, was buried and raised so that we might know love in all its fullness. The water is sprinkled, poured out like God's Spirit on us and for us, and we are reminded and assured that we are all God's children, that our future lies with God, and that the church, the family of God, is where we will be helped and equipped to serve God in the world. Alba is our special responsibility as her parents, family, friends, and members of this congregation. And whether or not we believe in God, God believes in us. So I hope everyone will all feel welcome to be part of the promises that are taken this morning. Let's first hear God's word in the story of Jesus' own baptism, as found in Matthew's Gospel, and I'm reading from the Message translation. Jesus then appeared, arriving at the River Jordan from Galilee. He wanted John to baptize him. John objected, "I am the one who needs to be baptized, not you." But Jesus insisted, "Do it. God's work, putting things right all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism." So John did it. The moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice. "This is my Son, chosen and marked with my love, delight of my life." Amen. Can I ask Alba, Mommy and Daddy and Godmum to come up and join me around the font? Hello. Oh, don't look so worried. I got lots of smiles earlier, didn't I? Yeah, lots of smiles earlier. Got questions to ask you first. In bringing your little one for baptism, do you confess your faith in God, the loving Creator, in Jesus Christ, in and through whom we are promised life, and in the Holy Spirit, our helper and guide? Do you promise, with God's help, to continue to provide a loving home for Alba and to bring her up in the faith of the gospel, and so far as you are able, in the fellowship of the church? And to you as godmother, do you, as entrusted as godmother, do you promise, as far as you are able, to help and support your friends here as they do their best to bring up Alba and keep the promises they have just made? And a question for everyone else gathered here. As witnesses and representatives of the church, do you promise to support Alba and her family as she is brought up and keeping the promises that they have just made? Holy Spirit, you moved over the waters in the dawn of creation. Bless this water as we baptize Alba today. Jesus Christ, our Master and our friend, calling us to follow you, bless this water as we baptize Alba into your church. God, our Maker, thank you for the gift of life, the chance to grow in love. Bless this water as we baptize this little one into your family. Are you going to come and see me? Oh, look at you. There we go. Alba, before the world knew anything about you, before your mummy and daddy held you in their arms, or first made you smile, God loved you. How can you know that there is a God who loves you so much that that love is mirrored in the eyes of your parents, who couldn't imagine life without you now, and that they will care for you with every beat of their hearts, wanting only the best for you and a world of opportunity for you to enjoy? How can you know that there are arms to hold you, minds to teach you, spirits to sing with yours? Oh, how can you know? You can't know yet, but we're here to make sure that in time you will come to know all these things. You are loved because you come from God, and who is love himself. And you belong to Jesus Christ, who calls us to freedom. Alba, before you cry too loudly, Alba, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May God's love and peace be with you now and dwell in your heart forever. Let us pray. There we go. God of love, we rejoice again to receive your grace in word and sacrament. We have heard your call and are made new by your Spirit. Guide and guide Alba all her days. May your love hold her, your truth guide her, your joy delight her. Bless her parents that they may grow up in a secure and happy home. Give to their family wisdom and courage, laughter and peace, and the love that endures all things. God of grace, in whose church there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, help us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to profess with our whole lives the one true faith,
and to live in love and unity with all who are baptized in his name through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns and is worshipped and glorified with you, God, Father, and Holy Spirit, one God forever.
Amen. Shh.
We sing together, the Lord bless you and keep you.
We're going to go for a walk.
Come on, let's go see everybody.
Lord bless
this little lump. You take him. There you go. You did very well. Please take us. Oh, wait a minute, wait. It's got a little gift for you from the congregation and a wee certificate to remember today by.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a seat. We close our worship this morning singing hymn 465, Be Thou My Vision, hymn 465.
Thank you. and you go knowing God's love, the peace of Christ and the companionship
of the Holy Spirit with each of us, day, each day and always.
Thank you.